What's up, guys? I'm Alex.
And I'm Corey.
And we're challenging you to think about gaming in a different way.
On this show, we'll talk about the games we love and why they're important.
This is Super Thought Bros. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Super Thought Bros. I'm Alex.
And I'm Corey.
And today we are talking about Luigi's Mansion 3, which just came out. Well, it came out in October of 2019 for the Nintendo Switch. And this is the third game in the Luigi's Mansion series, the first one being on the original GameCube. It was a launch title for the GameCube in 2001. And the second one was Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon on the 3DS in 2013. Corey, what's your history with this series?
So I've played a little bit of all of them. I've played quite a bit of this one, obviously, but I played through all of the original on GameCube, which I absolutely loved. And I did play a little bit of the second one, although it wasn't my favorite one.
You know, I actually never played the second one. I got it 3DS late in its lifetime, so I missed out on a lot of titles.
Sure.
But the original game, that was my first game that I got with the Nintendo GameCube. And oh my gosh, I played that game to death. I think that's, you know, it's a short game.
Yes.
But I think that's one of the games that I've completed the most in my life. I just played it over and over. I don't know what it was about it. It was the atmosphere. It was the...
Oh, totally.
Adventure. It was like hilarious. It was so unique.
Yeah,
there's nothing like Luigi's Mansion, and we'll talk about the gameplay and the atmosphere with Luigi's Mansion
right. 3,
but it was just such an odd game that was so bizarre to me, and I think I was fascinated.
It feels so Nintendo. I know that sounds like kind of lame, but like it's very much what they make and what they do well.
Very much so. With a weird twist on it because it's Luigi.
Right.
And he's a goof. He's a weird goof.
He really is.
So Luigi's Mansion's plot is not terribly crazy. It's very similar to past Luigi's Mansion games. In this version, Luigi, Mario, Peach, and a couple of the Toads of the Mushroom Kingdom are heading on vacation, and they're going to a big, beautiful hotel in the middle of nowhere. Red flag number one. We should know better by now.
Right.
And then once they're out there, they're greeted by the hotel's proprietor named Helen Gravely. And little do they know that Helen Gravely is in cahoots with King Boo, who is
also once again, not a red flag at all.
No, not a red flag at all that she's constantly applying makeup and being like, oh, you can stay with us for no charge.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's very spooky. But Gravely is actually in cahoots with King Boo, who is the main antagonist of the Luigi's Mansion series.
Right.
So in order to exact revenge on Luigi for foiling his plans of, I'm not sure what King Boo's plans are, to capture everyone in the paintings.
You know, I don't either. That was actually sort of one of my criticisms of the game. I was like, I don't really know why are you so evil.
Well, in this game, he's just pissed that Luigi has foiled him so many times.
That's
like,
true.
Like 18 years ago, he's still sour about that game that happened in 2001.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But we're not quite sure of his original motives.
Right.
Anyways, King Boo traps everyone but Luigi into these paintings, and Luigi manages to escape. So Luigi meets up with his good old pal Professor Egad, who is one of my favorite characters.
Oh,
one of my
yes.
favorite one of my favorite God, parts so about this funny. Game. It only happens once, but the way that Egad runs through the mansion, he's running like his head, I think, is like completely behind him. It looks like he's gonna fall over backwards. It's hilarious. Anyway, so Egad gives Luigi his famous Poltergeist 3000, the tools he uses to suck up the ghosts, and then Luigi starts going on through the mansion one floor at a time to free his friends and take down King Boo. So this game, obviously one of the main components of it is fear, and fear comes in a lot of shapes, sizes, and different ways for different people. For example, in the mansion, there's many different floors, 15 plus, I want to say. Don't quote me on that, but something like that.
Yeah, with some basements. Yeah.
And every floor is different because people are frightened of different things. For example, you know, Corey might be terrified of spiders, but I might not be. And I might be freaked out by snakes, but that doesn't bother Corey. In that same vein, there's a different floor. There's a different spooky floor for everyone. So if you're spooked out by mummies and pyramids, we got you covered. If you're kind of
if you're spooked out by classical music, there's a whole
yes, classical music like that, that like that creepy piano in the background. That's also we got you covered. So the game, I think, does a really good job of covering lots of different fears. And, you know, maybe, you know, adults don't play this game and are like, ooh, I'm terrified. But, you know, for younger kids, this it's scary. And especially for people who are maybe susceptible to jump scares like Luigi is.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, like as I was playing it, too, I was like trying to think about like how I would feel if I was younger playing it. And I mean, like, you know, young enough to be like a little spooked out by some of it. And I feel like this would be a fantastic entry level game if you were like actually going to play horror games some time down the line, you know?
Yeah, it's like baby's first Resident Evil, sort of.
Right, right, like sort of. Like things still kind of pop out. Like, yeah. I guess it's a little spooky.
So going off of fear, something that I picked up that is a recurring theme in this game and that I think people deal with constantly, maybe in smaller ways, but is the fight or flight response, or otherwise known as acute stress response. So basically, maybe you learned this in high school, but when someone's in peril, their brain, in an attempt to survive, is presents someone with two distinct options, either to fight against the thing that is presenting danger or to run away from it.
Right.
Luigi, interestingly, even though his friends are trapped, he is always picking, well, not picking, I suppose it's more of a innate response, reaction, but he's always choosing to run away, and he is always forced to fight. I actually clocked this, he never once in the game actively chooses to fight. He's always trapped in a room,
he always like backs himself into
it. And he's running away from the ghosts, and he's running away from something, and then the ghosts stop him and he has to fight.
There's something about him and like we won't get in a whole lot into Mario, but there is something about him that really is like the anti-Mario. You know, he isn't the like hero that's typical kind of advancing through the game in that sense, but he still has to stand up for himself.
And, you know, I think he's so scared because Mario has always done this stuff. He's the one who's always fighting, and he's the one who's always, you know, tackling the danger. And Luigi's kind of cheering from the sidelines. And Luigi, only on three occasions in his existence, has really taken the spotlight with the three Luigi's Mansion games. And and it's so interesting. Not a major spoiler, because surprise, Luigi does manage to free everyone from the portraits. Hey. But when Mario gets freed near the end of the game, he's like, come on, bro. And like he's jumping around and climbing up the mansion really fast. And Luigi's like, oh, crap, I need to just climb these stairs really slowly. And Mario jumps around. It's a really funny juxtaposition. I do wish Luigi at some point in this game, and I know this is the running gag of the Luigi's Mansion games, but I didn't see Luigi progress as a character through this game. Because even, again, no spoilers, but even when Luigi fights the final boss, his teeth are still chattering and he just doesn't want to fight him, even though he has to. And we never see him like take a deep breath and be like, no, I have to do this for my friends.
I mean, I wonder if part of that is that, like, you know, kids are playing these games, maybe there's something relatable about that, you know, like he's terrified even when he's had the whole game to prove to himself that he's like got this, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think at the same time, I think that's, you know, it's the endearing part of Luigi. Totally. Like we love Luigi. He's a selfless person and he is constantly doing things for other people's sakes. And even though through his fears, he's unflinching and unchanging, and the hotel doesn't actually change him. So at the end of the journey, we always know that Luigi is going to be the same Luigi that we love. And if Luigi conquers his fears, then the inevitable Luigi's Mansion 4 is going to have to be something totally different and new gag change into the game. So I don't know. Gooigi. Let's talk about Gooigi. So
there's a Gooigi in all of us.
Yeah. So no, truly, like when I started writing about this game, I was like, what am I gonna? I know I want to talk about fear and fight or flight. And then I was like, what does Guiji mean? And I'm sure that the developers had, you know, created Guiji just to be, you know, a second playable Luigi. So if you haven't played the game, Guiji kind of pops out of Luigi's poltergeist to help him solve puzzles, but Guiji is quite literally made out of green goo, and he I don't think he has a brain, but he
we don't know
exactly. He moves around
because Luigi kind of goes to sleep when you switch.
Yes, you can't actively control both of them at the same time. So I guess Guiji is just, he's putting his consciousness into Guiji, but even at the same time, Guiji is the opposite side of the coin of Luigi. I feel like he is actually, and some people, you might laugh at me for this, but I actually like think there's some truth in this. I think that he's a manifestation of another side of Luigi that is somewhat an unconscious part of him.
Okay.
So we have, you know, the conscious self of Luigi, which is fearful and unsure. And that's one side of him. And Luigi is also, I would say, oblivious. But that oblivious side is so oblivious that it is not scared of everything. Guiji's never scared. He never gets the jump scares like Luigi does. He's always like,
that's true,
giving thumbs up and like, this is fun.
And that side, kind of just goes for it.
Yeah. And that side is silently very strong. That obliviousness is, you know, kind of what allows Luigi to stand in the shadow of his older brother. But Luigi can only conquer a lot of the obstacles in the game if these two parts of him work together in a coherent way.
It's interesting though, like, why do you think they went with Guiji as opposed to like just creating another character?
You know, I think they want to keep a sense of
that it's like still about Luigi.
It's still about Luigi, and it's still a sense of isolation that Luigi is going through this mansion on his own with some outside help. But I think they want to give Luigi the spotlight, and they want to prove that this character that is scared, that is usually the backseat driver, can accomplish, like, can save everyone the same way Mario does on his own.
Right. Right.
I think that's a part of it. Luigi's just kind of funny.
He is funny. That is just a part of this game. It's just like a silly, funny game.
Yeah. With the darker overtones.
Right.
Going back to that last point, you know, of this is slightly another topic, but I think that in conquering our own personal fears or conquering, you know, those voices in our head that maybe say, you can't do this, you're not good enough, you can't just ignore those voices. You have to get to know them, and you have to get their familiar help. Yeah, you have to use them and help them in order to get stronger. A game I just played called Celeste, which we will definitely be talking on the show at some time, but it's about this girl who's climbing a mountain, and a manifestation of those mean voices in her head are constantly pulling her back.
Right.
And the only way that she can actually climb that mountain is by befriending this other side of herself that she's scared of in order to climb that mountain. So, you know, Luigi and Guiji are not as in your face representation of that concept, but maybe it is. Maybe it is a more subconscious, like working with another part of yourself in order to conquer your fears and accomplish your goals and save your brother.
Like it. It's his little conscious, yeah.
One of my favorite parts about this game is the mood and the atmosphere and the sense of anticipation. And like I said, you know, it's no Resident Evil, it's no Five Nights at Freddy's, but it can be a little spooky to children.
Yeah, it's incredibly detailed too.
It's so detailed. It's one of the most beautiful games on the Switch, I think.
Yes.
The art direction is beautiful, and just the dark vibes and the lighting design is really, really great. I just always have a sense playing this game, like, I never really know what's going to happen next, so I'm constantly moving at a slower pace and like peeking around those corners. It's making me feel like I'm in that mansion with Luigi.
Totally. And that you have to like explore every section and use the special light on different walls, you know. It does make you hungry to like figure, it makes you hungry to explore every inch of the mansion.
Very much so, because there's so much, there's so many hidden things to see on, like, you inevitably miss the first time you walk through a room. And the game does such a good job with the anticipation and the build up to bosses, and then when they inevitably pop out at you, like, for example, again, no spoilers, but the build up to the final boss at the top of the mansion is so good. Just the way that you hear the sound of it ruffling through the wind, or you hear it slamming into the hotel as you climb up higher. It's really, really great. And I love watching Luigi as he goes through the mansion humming to himself. Or
oh my God, that's my favorite. If you leave him alone, he'll just start like trying to comfort himself.
Yeah, I don't remember the music of this game well enough, but I remember in the original Luigi's Mansion, which they kept in this version, he's constantly going, like to keep himself calm, but it's really great because you know that's how Luigi can keep himself calm and collected. And the other thing I just wanted to say was, you know, though Luigi is constantly scared, he's endearing, and he's still working out a way to fight through his fears no matter how frightened he is, to save his friends and accomplish his goals, and that's ultimately very admirable.
I think you know, the game as a whole too, it's like I was saying earlier, it's so Nintendo, and I think it's a testament to what Nintendo does best. The game is just weird, you know, the humor is weird, the characters are weird, Luigi's a weird hero, and everything about that is not only funny, but sort of relatable. And I just think, like, I don't know, I play a lot of video games, I feel like other platforms don't always correctly achieve that level of charm that Nintendo can do, and I think it's typical Nintendo, like, knowing what they do best, and, like, what stories they tell best.
Yeah, and I think that goes, again, this is a larger conversation, but Nintendo, I've heard them say in interviews, they don't consider themselves competitors with the PlayStations and the Microsofts of the world, because they say, we do something very different. And, you know, they don't have the first-person shooters, they don't have those other games, because they're appealing to a different audience, and their version of storytelling is just so different, and it's so unique and memorable that I'm, you know, Luigi's Mansion is a quick game. It took me, I don't know, 15 hours, 13 hours to get through. At the same time, I feel like I might remember it more than a big frickin', I don't know, behemoth shooter game, because it has that much charm and personality to it.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I enjoyed the game. I have a special place in my heart for the original Luigi's Mansion, even though it was, you know, much shorter, and this is an expanded version. But
well, and let's face it, we are all much more Luigi than we are Mario. So
we like to think we're Mario, but we're all
we're
all Luigi on the inside.
We are Luigi.
Anything else you want to add, Corey?
No, that's it. I'm enjoying it, and you know, I think the other thing is, you know, we're always going to be talking about games we love. And sometimes, you know, the reason we love them is going to be short and sweet, and we still want to talk about them. That's why we'll have some of these shorter episodes that are kind of quick and to the point. And I think this is a good example. We just really enjoyed this game.
But we just talked about Fear and Luigi for a good 20 minutes. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Remember, if you want to watch us stream games, you can catch us on Twitch at Super Thought Bros Podcast. And we'll be coming at you with a new episode soon.
Yep.
This has been Alex and Corey signing off till next time.
See you guys.